You know, words are powerful. They can demotivate and they can disempower. And yet they also have the capacity to motivate and empower you. We'll give you the words to change your mindset, your attitude, and enhance your skills and talents without you really having to do much. How? Well, your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between what you imagine and what's real. It believes whatever you tell it. So, by using positive self-talk, you'll create your own private cheer squad, you. After all, everyone needs encouragement and moral support, don't they? I do a lot of work with an organisation called the Country Fire Authority, and I have the pleasure of going out to country areas and working with potential firefighters. And recently I was on one of my courses and we're out at Hatter National Park, which is in the middle of the bush somewhere, and we have a compound. And I have my training room, and just outside the training room there's a climbing wall. And the climbing wall is where we do all of our abseiling activities. So I'm just about to start a program, and we look out the window and we look across and we see a group of really young kids at the bottom of the climbing wall. And so my participants say, "Can we go out and watch them?" And I said, "Oh, okay." So we went across, and as we got there, all of the participants were lined up at the bottom of the climbing wall, and the aim was that they were going to get all the way to the top. So what was really interesting is that the race began, and honestly, no one in the crowd really believed that those young people were going to reach the top of the tower. So I heard statements such as, "Oh, way too difficult. They'll never make it to the top." Or, "Not a chance I'll succeed. That tower's way too high." And what was interesting is that as the young people started hearing these, they start collapsing. And one by one, they kept falling off, except for those in a fresh tempo started climbing higher and higher. So the crowd continued to yell, "It's too difficult. No one will make it." And more of the young people got tired and they gave up. But one young man, he continued higher and higher and higher, and he just wouldn't give up. And at the end, everyone else had given up climbing the tower except for this one young man who, after a big effort, was the only one who reached the top. The rest of us really wanted to know how it was that this one young man managed to do it. And so we decided that when he came back down that climbing wall, we'd actually ask him how it was that he made it all the way up there and no one else did. And talking about getting to the top despite what people are telling you, when you listen to this CD today, you're going to hear ways of avoiding words that discourage and demotivate you, and how to use words that motivate and empower yourself, and also how to use those on others. You're going to get to focus on what you want in life, and most importantly, learn to rephrase what people say to you so that you can get maximum impact in your life. And by the way, if you want to know the end of the story, it'll be at the end of the CD. So let's have a talk about self-talk and how we create our reality. You know, quantum physicists study the theories of possibilities, and they may not agree on figures, but what they do agree on is the concept I'm about to share with you. Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, Hungarian psychologist, actually looked at the theory of reality, and what he came up with was this: that imagine if this was true, that at any one time there are 2 million bits per second of information out there. Now, we cannot process that much information. So what our unconscious mind starts to do is it deletes things out of our experience. I mean, how many times have you gone to look for your car keys and you can't find them, and someone's come up and they're there right in front of you? That's right. We distort what we see and hear and think, and we make generalizations until out of those 2 million possibilities, we get down to around 134 bits per second of information. And that equals our reality at any one time. So a good example of this is if you had 10 people and they were witness to a car accident, you know, how many different accounts of the car accident would the police get? We know that some of the things would be the same, but they would certainly have information that was very, very different. So what this theory says is that at any one time, your reality is 0.00067% of a total possibility. Now, just imagine if that was true. So what is it then that determines what it is that we delete, distort and generalise? It's our self-talk. And this is why our self-talk impacts on our reality. I mean, how many times have you come across someone who says, I can't do it, or it's too hard, or it's going to be hard? Let's have a talk about how this theory works. If my story is that something is going to be hard work, then what will I delete out of my reality? I'll delete anything that's easy. And if my story is that this is going to be hard work, then what will I distort? I'll distort how hard it also is. And then I'm going to generalize and focus on how hard it is until guess what happens? It's hard work and it's a big slog. Here's another story. They don't like me. That person doesn't like me. So what will I delete in my experience with that person? Well, I'll delete any time that they give me a smile or any time that they are nice to me. I literally won't notice it. I won't see it, hear it, feel it, or even recognize it. And then I'll distort. They might say something nice to me like, oh, you look nice today. And I'll even distort that they're being sarcastic. And then I'll generalize about that person until once again, they don't like me. And here's the interesting thing about this. You know, if I don't think someone likes me, then what's my body language going to be like? Is it going to be open and me communicating easily? Well, usually no. So I'm going to have a closed body language. And when you think that 93% of our communication is unconscious, that's what they're going to be responding to. So in actual fact, I've probably created that reality in the first place by the self-talk that I had about that person. So why be aware of language? Well, what we focus on really does affect our body language. You know, around 93% of our communication is unconscious. It's the stuff that we don't even mean to put out there. And people pick that up through our body language, our gestures, our eye movements, and also through our tone of voice. You know, here's an interesting one about tone of voice. A sentence, I never said I would do it. Seven words, seven different meanings. I never said I would do it. 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 Seven different meanings for a sentence. So, you know, what's happening inside in your self-talk and in your unconscious mind comes out through your body language and through your voice. So when we're positive with people and we decide to focus on the positives around them and have a good self-talk, then that's what's going to come through in our body language. I teach this in particular to athletes. Why? Well, what better way to psych out your opponents than by really believing that you are the one who deserves to win? That's going to come out in your body language, your voice, and it's certainly going to psych them out. So the following nine words or phrases are ones to be aware of when you use them and also be aware when they're used on you. And I just really want to acknowledge my very dear friend and colleague, Catherine Gorman, who always comes up with great content whenever I'm doing one of my e-books or one of my CDs, and she shares it with me so that I can in turn share it with everyone else. Don't think of a purple elephant. So what happens? Most people will think of a purple elephant. Here's the deal with the unconscious mind. It actually doesn't process negatives. So when you tell someone, don't forget, what usually happens? They forget. And I went to the supermarket recently and we have all the recycled bags, and I walk around noticing how many times I see a sign that says, you know, don't forget your recycled bags. So I blame them now for the fact that they're always left in my car. Here's the interesting thing about language, and we're going to get this a lot of the time through this CD, is that why would we tell someone to not forget when we have a much better word in our language? And that word is remember. So it's about being aware when you use a negative and how you can actually replace it with something else. Working with a lot of firefighters, when I teach them this concept, they say it's so interesting when they go to a car accident in the country and they say, I can't tell you how many times, Carol, a car's run into a tree, and guess how many trees there were in the field? One. Why? Because just possibly what was going through their mind was, don't hit the tree, don't hit the tree. That's right. You know, how many times as parents do we tell our children, you know, don't touch that? Of course, all they hear is, touch it, touch it. And then they get into trouble. I have a 2-year-old who was about to touch something recently, and the worst thing is, I know this now. So it's very simple and easy for me to say, don't. So I'm halfway through, don't move away from the DVD recorder, please. And it's quite funny because now it's about her listening to those instructions. And I have found that's just a lot easier to get her to do things for me. You know, this is the reason why we actually write goals in the positive. I can't tell you how many times people write a goal. They say, Carol, my goals aren't working. And when I read their goal over, they'll say things like, I don't want to be fat anymore. And they write their goals and they talk about the things that they don't want instead of focusing on what they do. And this is the power of understanding this. You need to focus and need to verbalize what it is you do want instead of what it is that you don't want. Another way that you can also use this is so many times I hear people say, can you remind me or I'm going to forget this? If you really want to remember something, just program it into your unconscious mind. I will remember. And give it a go today. Give it a go next time you need to remember something. And I'll tell you right now, you will find that you will remember what it is that you've programmed in. Consider this radio exchange scenario. Please divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision.
Recommend you direct your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision.
Negative. You will have to divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision.
This is the captain of a Navy ship. I say again, divert your course.
No, I say again, you divert your course.
This is the aircraft carrier Delta, the second largest ship in our fleet. We are accompanied by 3 destroyers, 3 cruisers and numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north. I say again, that's 15 degrees north. All countermeasures will be undertaken to assure the safety of this ship.
This is a lighthouse. Your call.
It's such a great story. So the next 2 words that I'm going to share with you are just tools and techniques that will keep you open to possibilities in regards to communication. The first one is, that's right. And what this comment does is it validates another person's point of view. So instead of saying yes or actually agreeing with someone, you can use that's right, even when you don't necessarily agree. For example, I could be in a meeting and someone could come up with a really lateral idea that a part of me doesn't agree with. But as soon as I disagree with them, then I stop them from contributing to that meeting. So what I do is I go, that's right, and we could also do it this way. Just notice how I validate that other person and then I open them up to possibilities. Now add this next phrase and you will certainly be able to influence people. That's right, it's possible that. It's possible that, as a comment, opens up the possibilities that may exist out there. And by the way, it's very, very hard for someone to disagree with it. It's possible that Elvis is still alive. It's possible that there are UFOs out there. It's possible that you could learn all of this information really quickly and really easily after listening to this CD and apply it to your life straight away now, isn't it? That's right. And when we go back to the story of the Canadians and the Americans and the ship and the lighthouse, you know, it's possible that they probably could have found a better way of dealing with that. You know, when you're feeling really tired and you don't want to get up and come to work because it's so depressing and you feel like your life is falling apart? How does it look, feel and sound after you've just heard that? Yeah, why is it that it's possible that we hear that and not feel too good about it? Well, the unconscious mind works in metaphor. So when we hear the you in that, it's possible that we can fall into the drama of what they're saying really, really easily. It personally takes us through the experience that the other person is talking about. So I'm going to give you a couple of tools on how to handle this. The first thing that I do is sometimes in my clinic when I have a client who starts using this language and I find myself being drawn into their drama or their story, I say to them, who are you talking about, you or me? And they go, oh, I'm talking about myself. And I go, okay, well, can you use I statements? Because what my unconscious mind is hearing is that you're talking about me, and I probably don't want to be taking on that information. If you don't want to be as obvious as what I've just suggested there, you know, who are you talking about, you or me? Here's another trick you can do. Just keep your head still, and they won't be getting any feedback from you that you were taking that information in. Hey, here's an interesting little point that I love. Next time, instead of asking someone why, ask them how come. Listen to the difference. Why did you do that versus how come you did that? It's just a nicer way of asking people, and people tend not to become so defensive when they're answering. I appreciate your point of view, but what I think is, I know you've worked hard, but I have worked hard too. Yes, I respect your opinion, but what I think is, how many times have things like that been said to you? And here's the deal, the word but negates everything that has come before it. And when I teach this in workshops, it's really funny because people say to me how many times they've had that pause and then they've expected the but to come in. And because they're focusing on that, they don't even hear the wonderful information and the compliments that they've just received. Now, notice how much it's used in your life. When you finish listening to this CD today, you will hear it so often, particularly because it's been brought up to your consciousness. Now, this is another perfect example of a word in our language that we use when there's another word that's just as easy to use and you can keep rapport while you use it. And it's the word and. So let me go through the same comments. I appreciate your point of view and what I think is. I know you've worked hard and I've worked hard too. I respect your opinion and what I think is. So notice how it just means it keeps the conversation flowing and it keeps rapport with the other person. You know, I work with a fashion group and it was really interesting when I taught them this because what they said is that when they were going into their creative meetings, so they need people to be creative, they had some young people in the group who would come back from overseas with some really great ideas. And they'd say something like, you know, I think this season we could go for the gypsy look. And someone would go, yeah, but we did that 5 years ago. So then that person would stop contributing to the meeting because literally they'd just been cut off. So they have a big poster on their creative room wall with someone with their head up their bottom, and they just have a big but, no buts. And what they have found is since they've had that rule, they've been so much more creative and really been able to keep the conversation and the creativity going. Now, there's sometimes when I teach this in a workshop and people go, oh, well, yeah, and what about the word however? And I go, yes, I appreciate your point of view. However, what I think is, it's the same thing. You just get the same result as but. And then someone recently came up with, well, how about on the other hand? Yes, I appreciate your point of view. On the other hand, what I think is, it's the same thing. Why would you use however? Why would you use on the other hand when you can just use and? And here's another little tip. Add, it's possible that, and then you really keep the flow going and your rapport with that other person. So the example is, I appreciate your point of view, and it's possible that we can do it this way as well. You should do that. Or you should know all of this already. Now just notice what it sounds like and feels like and looks like when someone says that to you. You know, the S word can invoke feelings of guilt, so why even bother using it? Particularly when, once again, we have a much better word in our English language that doesn't invoke those feelings of guilt. And the word is could. You know, you could do that, and you could know all of this. And what it does is it just allows people to be opened up to the possibility. What's interesting in all of my work that I've done with champions is that they never use the word should. You know, I work with champion swimmers here in Australia, and I have never ever heard one of those champion swimmers come out after a race and say, I should have done a better job. In fact, the swimmers who do go into the shoulds spend so much time focusing on all of their mistakes that they can't even start to look forward to the future and their next race, which sometimes is within the next hour.
What champions do is they hop out of the water, they go to the cool down pool, and they have a bit of a think about what they did. And I'll say to them sometimes, you know, how did you go on your race? And they'll say, oh, I could have done better on that third lap. I didn't. I need to get over it and move on. And I think this is such a great thing to take away from champions. You know, how many times in the past have you shoulded yourself? I should have done this. I should have done that. Well, you know what? You didn't do it. Get over it. You could have done it. Didn't happen. Move on. And by the way, if anyone ever uses the S word on you and they go, you know, you should have done that, you can go, yeah, I could have. I didn't. And then just walk away. So here's another little snippet for you. The words, I know. What's interesting is that when you say I know, you actually shut down your listening. And also think about the times when you've been telling someone something and they're going, yeah, 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 I know. What happens to the rapport between the two? Goes right down. That's right. You've probably heard of the movie Star Wars. There's one of my favourite scenes where Luke Skywalker, he has his spaceship, it's in the swamp, and Yoda is teaching him how to be a Jedi Master. And they're doing some mind training. And Luke is asked to concentrate on the spaceship and through the power of the mind, lift the spaceship out of the swamp. And Yoda says, that's what I want you to do. And he says, okay, I'll give it a try. And Yoda says, no, do or do not. There is no try. And what's really interesting with the word try is it's actually a nothing word. If you're sitting down at your desk, you know, find a pen. Or if you're in your car, maybe don't do this exercise. But if you are sitting down, try to pick up a pen nearby. Now try to pick it up. Now if you picked it up, you've actually done it. If you haven't picked it up, you haven't done it. The trying doesn't actually describe anything. And yet we use it all the time. And what Yoda says to Luke is, you know what? Either do it or don't do it. But if you're not going to do it, actually take responsibility for it. We teach this to swimmers and other athletes that I've worked about. You know, I've never heard a champion on their way to a game say, yeah, 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 I'll try. They go, yep, I'll do it. And their unconscious mind actually hears that they have committed to having a good game or a good race. But the ones that turn around and go, oh, I'll give it a try. I mean, how does it sound when someone says that? How many times have you had someone say, yeah, 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 I tried it, or I'll give it a try? It actually gives them an excuse and an out for really having to be responsible for the outcome. I'm so glad that I taught this to my son because he was always one to blame everyone else for him not getting his homework done. And he really took this on, particularly because I gave him the Star Wars example. And so even recently I said, have you done your homework? And he went, I try. No. And so I said, and you are fully aware of the consequences of not doing it? Yes, Mum. And it was just a much more honest relationship than the old, I've tried and it's not working, or I'll give it a try. Now, look, as you've listened to many of these words, you can probably think of examples when they won't disempower anyone and it's okay to have them in your language. You know, for example, our last word, try. I'm going to go try on some clothes. It works. It doesn't disempower anyone, so it's okay to use. So I've just assumed that you have enough intrapersonal intelligence to know where these words are inappropriate, where they're going to disempower someone, and what to do when they're actually being used on you. So you may remember the story that I started off with at the beginning of this CD about the climbing wall and all of the young people climbing up it, and only one made it all the way up to the top. And we said, you know, when he gets back down, we're going to ask him how it is that he made it to the top despite being told that it was too hard and no one else could. So when he made it back down, one of the other people walked up and asked him how he actually achieved that goal. And he kept walking by the person. Then another person went up to him and got right in his face and asked him once again, how is it you got your goal? And it turned out that the winner was deaf. So, the wisdom to the story is, never listen to other people's tendencies to be negative or pessimistic. They take your most wonderful dreams and wishes away. Always think of the power that words have. And above all, be deaf when people tell you that you cannot fulfill your dreams.
My name's Eddie Posmer and I'm here with Carol Fox from Life Performance. Carol is a motivational speaker, an author and a mentor. So, hello Carol, how are you?
Hi Eddie.
Now, tell me, Life Performance has three divisions. What are they?
There's a corporate division, sporting division, and we also have a mentoring division.
Okay. And so how does that work exactly? So we just find corporate?
Well, we have a lot of clients from a very broad range of areas. What Life Performance does is it creates seminars and workshops for our corporate clients, so people in the business world. And we also have a very big presence in the sporting world here in Australia. And we've also worked internationally there as well.
So when you say you've got a very strong presence, what exactly, like who are some of the people you've worked with?
The Australian swimming team, the Australian Institute of Sport, the Victorian Institute of Sport, AFL football clubs. We've got some international cyclists that we're working with at the moment.
So just quickly, how can you help? How can you make a difference in these sort of areas?
Well, with a lot of the sporting teams, it's about teamwork and leadership and getting people to really step up and get out of their own way so that they can be the best that they can be and perform at their highest level. A little catch cry at Life Performance is support the champion within, and that's what we aim to do through our workshops.
And what about the mentoring?
The one-on-one mentoring, we tend to work with people who, once again, just want to get out of their own way. They'll come to us with lots of different problems and they want a fast, effective technique that will enable them to just get on with their lives. All of our mentors are trained in clinical hypnotherapy, they're timeline therapists, and they're all neuro-linguistic programmers. And the reason that we have chosen to use those therapies is that we can get to the root cause of the problem really quickly and get people back on track with their life.
Now, I believe you you run numerous workshops.
Yep.
What topics do you cover?
Oh, look, there's a lot of topics, and actually my best answer to that will be to go to the website, and we've actually got a menu of services under our services link.
Okay. And that website is www.lifeperformance.com.au. And you've also making and producing more CDs.
Yes.
So you've got 7 CDs in your series.
Yes.
How can people get hold of them?
People can get hold of them by just going to the website again. And there's a link there and an order form. They're always available at the clinic and also at any conferences that I speak at as well.
And predominantly, what's the essence of these CDs?
In the past, I have spoken at workshops, at seminars and at conferences, and people come up and say they want more information, and that was really the reason for studying the CDs in the first place. So there's three main areas. We've grouped them in three areas. There's a communication CD, a goal-setting CD, and there's also one on really just relaxing and getting on with your life. They're the groupings.
I believe you've also written some e-books. Can you tell us a little bit more about those?
Yeah, well, I've co-authored 2 books at the moment with my colleague Catherine Gorman. Our first one is Be a Charismatic Communicator, and that has techniques for effective communication anywhere and anytime. And our second book is Skills to Chill, so no pill, chill skills. And these books are available in hard copy and also in electronic book version. And once again, if the listener wants to go to the website, they'll be able to download and pay for those products on the website.
Okay. Now, just for those who don't know, exactly what is an e-book?
An e-book is where you can actually download and print. You can either download it onto your computer to read, or if you prefer to have it a hard copy, you just print it up on A4 paper and you can then read it. And it's just a cheaper way of being able to access a book. So, for example, we can offer an e-book for $15, $10, and if we were to do it hard copy, which we do with a couple of our books, you're looking at up to $30 to $40.
Okay, so it's a very cost-effective way of gaining the knowledge and information.
Yeah, and Eddie, it makes it really accessible to everyone. Because for some people, paying out that sort of money is just not an option for them.
Now, all of this exists on your website?
That's right. Yep, we've just revamped our website and it has all of this information on it.
Okay, well, so I suggest that if you want to find out more information about Life Performance, what sort of products, what sort of knowledge they have, and some of the services, then head on to www.lifeperformance.com.au.
Very good,
and
Eddie.
You can get up with all the latest from Life Performance and also see what new things are coming up.